Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you will be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell continues the series entitled, Satan's Infiltration of Christian Churches. In this second message, Pastor John points out that mankind is locked in a legal battle between God and Satan. Every human being on earth is dragged into this whether they like it or not. Since few Christian churches teach on this subject, people don't understand what is happening around them and therefore not able to defend themselves in this lethal battle. Most Christians have read 1 Peter 5:8 many times, but never understood or reflected that the words are literally true. The devil really is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But before you can begin to defend yourself, you must have full Bible knowledge, and this sermon will point you in the right direction. Remember, there is no neutral ground. You are either victorious or slowly being defeated without knowing it. This message is entitled Part 2, Mankind is Locked in a Legal Battle. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, October 12th, 2008. And I'm going to give my second message on Satan's infiltration of Christian churches. And today we're going to talk about that mankind is locked in a legal battle. And if you want to get ready, turn to the book of Job, which is in the Old Testament, just before Psalms. So we're going to read Job in chapter 1 and chapter 2, just a couple of brief verses. Let's stand one more time and pray for the message. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for being with us as we open up your word, that you will guide us, lead us, speak to us, Lord. And I pray, Father God, not just for the congregation here today, but for people around the world listening to by audio, that, Father God, every person listening to my voice will be touched by the Holy Spirit, receive revelation and insight, and able to understand and to be victorious. And this we ask in Jesus' name, and all our great said, amen. You may be seated. I'm repeating my last 3 points that I had last week. And I will talk about Satan's legal right. There are 2 places in the Bible where we are told of Satan's legal right to challenge and test a man. If you read now in Job chapter 1, and we're just going to look upon just a few verses here. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou, or where do you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. The rest of that chapter, you'll find his children got killed, his business got killed, his cattle got killed, he lost everything, and he had absolutely nothing. In chapter 2, we read again. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil, and still he holds fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroying without cause?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he's in your hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What shall we receive good of the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Let me take it out of 1 Peter. That's 1 Peter chapter 5. And we read this in verse number 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Job was attacked with his goods, his cattle, his children, his body. But that is not the only way that Satan attacks. We read here in 1 Peter, and again I want to read this to you again. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." The devil is simply seeking someone he can devour. Let's go back 60 years in time. Let's talk about Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts began his healing ministry back in the late 40s. Was Oral Roberts a man of God? In my understanding, yes. Was he ever born again? Yes. Did he have an anointing upon himself? Yes, he did. How did the devil take out Oral Roberts? He didn't attack his body per se. He didn't destroy his business or the ministry. But he moved in through greed, power. And Satan simply said, "You know, I'm going to let you build an empire." And any time we're going to look upon someone here this morning, when you begin to build an empire, a spiritual empire, so to say, very few men can stand. You remember he built Oral Roberts University. You remember he built the hospital. And there was a lot of things going on financially that was not right. And then you remember one of the last things he did was that he said, you know, that if people do not give, I think of a $3 million or $10 million, I can't remember the number now, but he said, if I don't get that money, God is going to kill me. I need to finish that hospital. Now, my wife has been there. We've been to that tower. Finest layout ever seen. But you know what? That was never finished. His son came in later, and they started dipping their fingers into funds of the ministry. And in disgrace, his son had to resign and lead the ministry. And Oral Roberts University of Ministry is a shadow of what it was. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Let's talk about another man. Some of you might know and some of you might not. Rex Humbard. I love Rex Humbard and his family, the Humbard family. And in the 70s, every Sunday we could hear them from the Cathedral of Tomorrow, I believe the name was, in Ohio. And he preached a very good gospel. And it was a nice, wonderful time. How did the devil devour Rex? Finances. They needed to build some things or whatever it was. Money was tight at that time. And someone told him, you can get money from the Teamsters up in Chicago. And he put his hand out there and he got involved with the mafia. And they gave him millions of dollars in loans. And then some things happened with the IRS and everything else. And today, Rex Humbard's wife, she said, with the Lord, his family is scattered. The Cathedral of Tomorrow was sold to Ernest Angelo, and his ministry is no more. Was Rex Humbard saved? He was as saved as a man could be saved. Was he sincere? Yes, he was sincere. He was a man of God. But you see, he didn't see the devil coming, seeking him, trying to devour him, and he lost his ministry. Jim Baker, story is well known, I don't have to repeat that. PTL. Jimmy Swaggart. And we can go down in the last century, and every major evangelist and pastor in this country went under one way or the other, was taken out because they didn't understand. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, the roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He will come against you and me in different ways. It doesn't have to be finances. He will simply come to some of you and he will simply use offense to spin you out. You get offended and you get spun out. Others never really have grown up. Some of you simply are proving yourself. You have an inferiority complex. You've never been able to overcome that. And that's how he works with you, to take you out. And you know, when we have problems like this, we go to a church, we go someplace for a while, you know, everything is fine, and so it's new, and then the luggage comes back. It comes in, you know, it's just like an airplane. You fly someplace, you're free, you walk off, and here's your luggage. And we can't outrun our luggage. We got to simply shoot it, blow it up, and not take it with us. Money can be taken out by television. Cares of this world, involved in a job, whatever it is, Satan has, and mark this now what I'm giving you, because I'm getting straight right now. I haven't thought this out. Satan has a specific weapon just for you. He has simply profiled you. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this. About a month ago, I got a letter from a mortgage company and said this, that we had an employee, matter of fact, this was countrywide, but you don't really trust countrywide. And they said that an employee had stolen thousands of accounts, social security numbers, everything else, and sold them on the market. You are one of them. Why, great. Now you know your identity is sold. To protect yourself, we have gone in business with this credit reporting company, and we are going to pay for 2 years of monitoring your finances so that we make sure that no one gets in and takes your identity. So I called them up, and I said, now, is this a scam too? It wasn't a scam. So I signed up, no cost to me. I was shocked when I got a report. I got probably about 20 pages, 3 different credit bureaus, and I started on page 1, and here was listed all the transactions that I have done probably the last 50 to 20 years. Credit cards, gasoline cards, mortgages, accounts are closed. They've been everywhere. They had a total record of my finances, and they have never spoken to me. Now, if you belong to Safeway or some place where they have what they call a savings card, they are doing this because they give you a percentage, but every time you go to the grocery store, then you swipe that card, everything you bought goes in the computer, and somebody is profiling you, what you eat, what you like, where you go shopping, what kind of restaurant you use, and so on. Every time you use a credit card, all that information is put in huge computers. And that's why when you get advertisements, they are geared to you. If you're an outdoors person, you realize I'm getting advertisements for outdoors activities. How do they know that? Well, they know what you're buying. They know what you're doing. Now, Satan has profiled each one of us. He simply has the capacity, now some of you might argue with me on this, but you might argue, but this is what I believe strongly. Satan and the demons can read your mind. They can read your thoughts. They know your desires. That's why we have so many preachers and other people in pornography on the internet. Satan entices them. Every day when I open my computer, I got spam. They want to sell me Viagra, Cialis. They want to sell me all kind of things. And then I notice now they're getting worse. That before it was just an advertisement, but now there's a picture coming with some of these, and I simply look up to the delete button, and I just hit delete. I can't protect myself from having this coming in. Satan knows it. And he will simply profile you and come up with a group of demons. They will come in, and they will try to take you down at your weakest point. At your weakest point. That's what I drill. Just like a dentist. He never drills on the good teeth. He's always on that bad tooth. And you say, oh my God, how long is he going to drill? Oh. That's how the demons work. Turn me now to Luke chapter 22. The reason I'm sharing that with you is not to get you depressed, but I'm simply saying this, you are in a fight if you like it or not. Now some people says, well, I heard people say that about me, you know, you see demons everywhere and so on, you know, why don't we talk about some good things? This week, there's a family, about four or five people that died in the fire. I can't remember the town now. But they were there, and the smoke detector did not work. Either bad battery did not work. And the fire started very quickly. They only had one exit, and the hallway was totally inflamed, like just an inferno. There was no way out, and they all died. It's little children, husband and wife, and so on. Now, if I'm selling you smoke alarms, and I'm coming up and saying to you every week, have you checked your battery? Have you checked your battery, your smoke alarms? And finally you said, shut up! I don't want to hear about my batteries anymore. I'm tired of it. I want something good. Sing a song for me. So it's okay, we sing a song for you. And one day, there's a fire, your battery is shot, and you lose your life. And you would have said, well, I guess you should have kept talking about the batteries. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have you may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. What is Satan's purpose? His purpose is to take you out of circulation. Now, if you cave in and you simply say, I can't take this anymore, I can't do this anymore, I'm just not going to pray anymore, spiritual warfare, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to sit here, I'm just going to do nothing. Yes, you will get relief. Because Satan is not putting any money or effort in unless he has to. You're going to be sidelined. And you're going to float to the side of the river. We have no choice. We can either be fighting for the Lord or retired and put out in the tulips. Let me read to you from a box. There was a war in heaven between God and Satan. Satan lost and is now disputing his sentence to the lake of fire by accusing God in the heavenly court system of being unrighteous. This is where man comes into play as God shows his righteousness. Therefore, every born-again believer will be challenged by Satan and his demons in order to discredit God. Turn up to Revelation chapter 12 with me. Revelation the 12th chapter. And we're going to read just a few verses here and there. Let me read to my outline now. Few Christians have understood that this war in heaven was a catastrophic event that encompassed the entire universe. No portion of the universe was untouched. The firepower unleashed by the two opposing forces destroyed and ruined planets as well as solar systems. And we can see the damaged surfaces on the moon and on Mars as we now be able to see pictures from them. This week, ABC had this news out that the United States Army has now rolled out its first pain-inflicting mobile unit. And I looked upon it and I said, now, they're getting serious. This unit can shoot particle beams 700 yards into crowds. It's a modified microwave oven. And they're simply shooting out, so the operator got to work how many people are out there, how far the distance, or if he puts too much power on, he can actually fry a person if he's close. In the future, now they will not need any tear gas. They will not need shooting rubber bullets. They roll this unit up, or these units up. They simply put their discs out. They turn electricity, and that crowd will simply wreathe in pain, fall to the ground, unable to move. Now, isn't that nice? That's what you call a non-lethal weapon. These are the things that the Antichrist is going to love down the road. And I'm just sharing that with you. And then the article said that they also have laser weapons. They have bolt slingers. They got all kind of fancy stuff. We can simply fry people, fry tanks, burn things down. We have not weapons that we have never seen before on this earth, except what the demons had. Let's read about this war now. Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Notice not past tense. Mike and his angels fought against the dragon, the dragon fought against his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. This was the war that was horrible. Now, when my parents, my dad was 24 years old, my mother was 19 years old, when I was brought into the world, the year 1939. My parents had not simply thought, you know, there's going to be a world war. They were just young people. They dated. They fell in love. They planned a marriage. They planned to be together, raise a family. And they did not know, and millions of other people did not know, that some people had decided for a world war. And people living from 1939 to 1945, they could not say, well, I don't believe in this. I don't like this. You were in the planet that was at war. And the entire earth was affected. Food-wise, loss of people, whatever. Everyone was involved. And this is what I'm trying to get across now to the Christian community. We are in the aftermath of a war. We are in a mop-up situation. And it doesn't matter what you think. You will be affected. So what we need to do is we need to learn how to shoot and to be successful. We don't have to be defeated. I'll read from my outline. I'm not going to read Hebrews 12:22. There are such a vast number of angels that God could not give a numerical number, Hebrews 12:22. The angels were all created with a free will, had to make a choice, to stay true to God or join Lucifer and the rebellion. We do not know how long Lucifer had to tempt the angels. how long they worked on their weapon systems, or how long this was lasted, or how long this war lasted. But it became clear it was not a short period of time compared to human timekeeping. And one third of the angels rejected God and joined Lucifer. You find it in Revelation 12:4. The prophet Isaiah was given a partial revelation, and so was the prophet Ezekiel. The common message from these two men was the power and deception by Lucifer and the destruction he left behind. Isaiah chapter 14 is where we start. That's the book of Isaiah, and we're going to turn to the 14th chapter. And I'm going to read from verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroy the cities thereof, that open not the house of his prisoners? Look upon our nation. 50% or more of all married couples have been divorced. Devastation. Homosexual marriage is coming. And you know, even the homosexual marriages, as I read some statistics, are having a lot of divorces. They cannot even stay married to themselves. We see children rebelling against parents. Do you realize that the last 2 weeks, every 401k, every retirement fund, all the things that people have invested in, 50% is gone. The values of all these savings and investment, 50% is gone. The question is now, will the rest be gone or will it go back up again? There's no safety in the world. There's only safety in Christ. And the devil is doing nothing but destruction. Now turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. If you look here from verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and said to him, thus is the Lord of God. You sealed up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You had been in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of your tablets and of your pipes were prepared in you in the day that you were created. You are the anointed cherub that covers. And I've set you so. You was upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways for the day that you were created. Iniquity was found in you. But a multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy your covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they might behold you. You have defiled sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. By the iniquity you traffic, therefore I bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold you. All that did know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You shall be a terror, and never shall you be any more. Look in verse 18. You have defiled your sanctuaries. Remember in April, the Lakeland revival out of Florida, Lakeland. Remember the hoopla, the evangelists, the healings, the miracles, broadcast on television. People were flying in from all over the world just to go there and get the touch. One of the prominent people here in town is it's a medical doctor that I know, and his wife flew to Lakeland, Florida. This guy is a nice guy. I mean, solid guy. His wife flew to Lakeland in the early part to get the touch and bring it home. Well, the Holy Ghost was not there, but we had unholy angels. Powers. And you know, as it fell apart like a card house. And here you have now probably at least 100,000 people from Asia, Europe, United States, Canada, everywhere. People took and borrowed money, spent $10,000 to $15,000 to go to Florida for 1 week or 2 weeks with airplane, hotel rooms and everything. Yet they borrowed it so they could get the fire. And you know what fire they got? They got a strange fire that burned them. And today, there's nothing left but ashes. An evangelist, a recovering alcoholic, his wife divorced him, filed for divorce. He sits someplace, I heard, in California, recovering, destroyed. Look in verse 18. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. Yes, Lucifer had churches, and he defiled them. Why did people flock to some place like Lakeland, Florida? Because they are hungry for God. Most churches are dead. There's no power. And people are hungry for power. That's why people are in the New Age. That's when they get into witchcraft and Satanism. And when Christians hear there's power, the Holy Ghost has fallen, we run. And we don't recognize that the Holy Ghost can be here. He's with us. God the Father, God the Son lives inside of us. We don't have to go outside. We just go to God. We can pray down the power ourselves. But to pray down the power, we need to live a holy life. That's a crutch. So if we want to have someone live the holy life and pray it down, we can get it for nothing. And not having to simply live a holy life. I wrote this sentence here. God never participated in this war. It was fought entirely by angels. Notice this. God the Father has never fought a war and never will. He has to put down evil. But God is love. And God is not going to get involved. Jesus will rule and reign. We talked about the court system last week, and I'm just going to read the scriptures here. 1 Kings chapter 22, 19 through 23, Daniel 4, 13 through 17, and Job 1. We already read that. Job 1, 6 through 7, and Job 2, 1 through 2. Let me just read down here as we go down. We don't have a section in the Bible where we are told exactly what took place after the war, or how Satan was captured. But the Bible tells us that he was sentenced to the lake of fire with his angels. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. That's Matthew, the 25th chapter. If you pick it up in verse 41, we read this. Jesus said, "Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The lake of fire was never prepared for you and me. But those that do not receive Christ will be cast there." Then Revelation 20:10. Revelation chapter 20. If you pick it up in verse number 10. "And the devil that deceives them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever." The conclusion, I'm back in my outline now, the conclusion we can draw from this is that his sentence has been stayed for the time being, and Satan is still loose on this earth. In our court system, a person can be convicted of a crime but have the right to appeal his case. Looking at all the scriptures, it is my conclusion that Satan accused God of being unrighteous when he sentenced one of his creatures to the lake of fire. This challenge became known to all the angels and must have created doubt in the minds of the angels who stayed with God. Since these angels are going to be retained in a new creation, God wanted to make sure that all traces of doubt were removed. Therefore, man was created to prove God's righteousness. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, the entire universe is going to be torched. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll pick it up in verse number 7. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved for fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works of therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens begin fire to be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness." Now, the Bible tells us, everything here is temporary. You know, all the beautiful pictures painted is not going to make it into the new heaven. Yosemite Park is not going to make it into heaven. The giant sequoias and the redwood trees that people have been, you know, protecting and they're simply saying we got to preserve them, they're not going to make it into the new kingdom, the new creation. Nothing. Nothing we have. The only thing that you and I will take with us will be our soul and spirit. And the works that we have done for Jesus. That is what we're going to take with us. When we get to the other side, there's an investment bank in heaven. Jesus said rust and moth and fleas cannot get in there. It is not built on speculation. It doesn't go up and down. It only has one way to go, and that's growing. Steady growth. And as we invest in that, now you said, well, I don't have any money to invest. You invest your time. You invest your talents. You invest if you got some money. You invest yourself. When you go and talk to someone about Jesus, you are investing in that bank in heaven. When somebody calls you up and says, you know, I'm cold, I don't have this and that, and you bring them something, you are investing in heaven. And this morning as I listened to the news before I left, I realized this, that there have been hundreds of thousands of people in the last week that have lost their jobs in the United States. Hundreds of thousands of people do not have homes anymore. They couldn't pay the mortgage. In many of the towns now, they are setting up parking lots where the rich and famous are actually people that are fairly affluent. They are not living either out of their cars, out of their trailers or motorhomes. They got no home. They got no money. These are people that used to have a lot, and today they're down to nothing. If we go down to a massive mass, and we have millions like this, our society will collapse as we know it. There's only 3 days of food supplies in every store. How have we lived and how are we living? This is the time now that we're going to have to say, well, I have invested so many years into the kingdom of God. My God shall supply. And this is the time when we might have to live supernatural down the road. When Elijah was told to prophesy and proclaim a famine, drought, God said, you go out to this brook. You stay by the brook, and that's where you get your water. And I will feed you every day. And every day came the ravens, and they brought in bread and flesh. Where they got it from, God doesn't tell us, but they brought it in. The brook dried up. God said, move to another country. Find the poorest woman, a widow. Go to her, and I will use the poor widow to sustain you. And you know the story. He prayed over oil and over the flour. And the rest of the famine, they ate and ate and ate, and God sustained. But you see, you can't live like hell and simply be walking in the world like this and everything crumbles. You say, okay, now God, I want some faith. Now God, I want some faith. Forget it. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and it's walking in God. There's going to be a lot of Christians that are going to simply cry because they have wasted their time. They have not walked with the Lord. This is the time to start saying, I'm going to walk as close as I can walk. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You know, I argued with God many times. And I said, Lord, why couldn't I have a little country church up in the mountains someplace next to a lake? And, you know, no television, no radio, nothing, you know, just have a good time. Help these folks. You don't go fishing in a week, you know, no write any books or nothing. That would be nice, but that's not what we're here for. Romans 3. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all that put all in that believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and to justify of him which believes in Jesus. What does that mean to you and me? It simply means this. You have accepted Christ. You're born again. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit on your way to heaven. And when you walk around, you don't have to do anything. When you walk around and just shine, you are showing God's righteousness. I had a miracle today when I shaved. I never had a miracle like this, and I see that why God gave me that miracle today. I have four bulbs over our vanity. And last week, we had an electric failure, and I was taking a shower, and I looked at those bulbs. I could see the electricity go like this, and I pfft off. And I thought, okay, here goes the pump. Now I got more shower. And about 1 minute later, the power came back. But one of the bulbs were burned out. Now, you know when a bulb is burned out, it's burned out. So I said, well, you know, now procrastination comes in, you know. I'll get to that someday. I just get to it someday. I just didn't get to it. So here I was this morning. I was in the shower, you know, just praising God, and then I says, I'm blinking. And I says, now, is the electricity going out again? And I looked, no, it's steady. I took a second look. The burnt out bulb was burning. I said, wow, now that is a miracle. Wow, I never see the burnt out bulb fix itself. And sure enough, I finished up my shower, dried off, went out, turned the lights off, come back and turn them on, and there it is, shining again. Just shining. I said, okay, now that's why I didn't take it out. God showed me an object lesson. And here's the object lesson. You and I are light bulbs. We are radiating out God's righteousness. You don't have to say a whole lot. Just put a smile on. Just say, praise God, hallelujah. You don't even have to use these words. You know, just be positive. And people say everything is falling apart. Yeah, they might be, but, you know, God is still able. He can do all things. This is the good news. In order to show God's righteousness, all we have to do is to be. That's it. That's easy, we think. Well, we got mood swings, don't we? How you doing today? I don't know. Broke my toenail. I hurt. What can you be praising God? I don't know. Let's go down to the next point. Got to move on. Jesus is a judge. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. You know what I think I might want to do is to take that light bulb out and put a sticker on it, to take it down and hang it there in church for everybody to see my miracle bulb. Oh, man. Never seen anything like that. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Don't you like to have miracles happen when you take a shower? You see, God is everywhere. You know, where will you go? God is there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. For he, Christ, must reign till he has put all enemies on his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put all things on his feet. When he says all things put unto him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things unto him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Let me read my text now. Since God is the source of all life, it would have been easy for him to stop sustaining Lucifer and the fallen angels, and they would just have evaporated. However, Satan's accusation would still be with the holy angels, and so God had to limit himself during this appeal process so that Satan couldn't say that the deck was stacked against him. 2 points now, as we close this point down now. Satan has the legal right to attack any work of God on this earth. He attacked the nation of Israel, the disciples of Jesus, the apostolic church, and the list can go on. Number two, Satan has the legal right to challenge every man and woman of God in order to break them and make them curse God. Every man and woman of faith, listen to the Bible, faced the wrath of the devil. Now turn to Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation 12:10, we read this. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, but accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them, rose inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. You read the rest of the chapter there, and the devil simply is going after the Christians. Now, I want to leave you with one more illustration here. Saturday, Brother Mike and I was driving down to go to the dump and dump some stuff off. And after that, we had to go to town and pick something up. And as we were down, just outside, we would come down on Sunset, toward Sunset Boulevard in Placer County. We saw smoke up the road. And Mark said, hey, fire up there. I said, yeah, it sure looked like fire. So as we come to the close, we saw this pickup truck that had hay in the front and had a trailer full of hay, and the trailer was on fire. And there was one of these Mexican food trucks had stopped, and those guys were running out, and they were taking their ice water and stuff, you know, and they did what they could, and they tried to throw it down, and they were trying to unhook the trailer so that he could drive away the truck. It was a brand new truck. But you know, a little trays of water, fire just started. And then a couple of other cars came, you know, they ran out, you know, and they had their fire extinguishers, and they went over there, you know, and I had nothing. And then the Holy Spirit said, pick up your phone. Now, how do you put a fire out with a phone? You throw it at the fire? You wave it at the fire? But you know what I did? I picked it up, and I went, 911. Normally, the highway department answers that phone, and they take 5 minutes sometimes. I got a lady immediately on, she said, what's your emergency? I said, we got a fire going. Where's the fire? I could see the street signs. I said, this is the corner. How big is the fire? Well, lady, it's burning. Are there any structures there? I said, lady, there's a fire. Don't worry about that. Are any people hurt? I said, I don't know. I see them moving around. okay, we're going to send the fire department out. But it took them about 10 minutes to get out. We had a fire station 5 minutes behind us, and we never heard them, but they came from another place. But what I want to point out is simply this. My little cell phone called in two fire trucks, one spotter plane, two tankers, and one helicopter. And I got more water on that fire than the guys that had the little food truck. Why? Because I was connected. You know what? When you are not praying, we start seeing that here. When you pick up your cell phone and say, "My Father, who art in heaven, I want to talk to you. I got some needs." Immediately you're put through to the Father, and He can listen to 3 billion people talking at the same time, sorting everyone out and talking intelligent to each one of us. We can be victorious. We are going to be victorious if you only realize, yes, Satan walks around like a roaring lion, but we got a direct cell phone line into heaven, and we can call in more firepower than he has. Closing term to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Now this is my next week. We're only going to talk about our weapons and how we're going to be victorious. I had to lay the foundation for 2 weeks, get you depressed for 2 weeks, and I get you back up the third. Can a believing Christ be victorious? The answer is resoundingly yes. But it cannot be done in the flesh. It must be done for the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. John 15, 1 through 5. I am the true vine. By the way, that fire burned 80 acres. But they said because they got to jump on it fast, they were able to get it out before any further more that was just grass burning all the way around. I am the true vine, and my Father the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean for the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you accept your body in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For, notice that now, for without me you can do nothing. That's the key. Now we have seen that some of you are successful, some of you are on the way to success and so on, some of you hanging around, I don't know where you are. And not only talking to the people here, but people around the world. But you see, if I start a project, and I am in the flesh, I'm in rebellion, I'm not talking to God, I'm doing my things and so on, that's going to fail. Guaranteed. But if I abide in Him, any project I do, and I simply say I will not move unless the Holy Ghost moves. If God is not moving, I'm not moving. If God is staying, I'm staying. Or if He goes, I go with Him. Then I will have success. Jesus said, "For without me, you can do nothing." And then my closing scripture, the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Chapter 1, familiar verses, I've preached them too many times, but they are good. We'll be back again. Acts 1, verse 4, and we read this. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many day hence. And then verse number 7, the latter part. Actions verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's the promise we have. Power. Is it possible to have that? Yes, it is. Can we have it all the time? Yes, we can. But there are times when we get depressed. We get down. We get tired. We get discouraged. These moments will come. But what we need to learn is says to simply encourage ourselves and recognize, yes, times might be tough, but God will see me through. That's what we got to go for. We got to go for that. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. My question to you is this. If you're not discouraged, you will have the power. Picture Satan like this. He's like a robber. He comes in with a water pistol, sticks in your rib and say, give me your money, give me your joy, give me everything you have. Now, if you know he got a water pistol, you're going to say, hey, fly out the door, man. I'm done with you. That is when we either have the victory or we lose the victory. This morning, I heard the news. The devil's saying this. You think that you're going to be able to pay mortgage on your home? People are getting laid off. They laid off. They got no money. You got no salary. You know what? I had to tell the devil this. Just take a hike. My God will supply my needs. And if it is God's will for me to not live here, then I'm going to be happy living wherever He wants me to be. Because He's in charge. He's my breath. He's my life, my power, everything. I am His light bulb. My light bulb went out. And I was going to trash it. And God said, I'm not finished with it yet. And He fixed it from the inside. You don't take a burned out wire inside a light bulb and fix that. You don't do that. No hands. But God simply says, see what I can do? Just like that. I can do anything. So have faith and simply say, yes. We know we're going to be afflicted by the devil. We know we're in a battle. But we know this. We can shine if we are connected to Him and we live and believe and reject unbelief. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I thank and I praise You right now for these moments we had today. I thank You, Father God, for the service today. I thank You for the part of the music, testimony, the homecoming of our prodigal son. I thank You, Father God, that You helped me to finish this message, Lord, today. And I pray now, Father God, that no one will walk away here depressed. But that, Father God, You will simply tell them this, I'm with You. I love You. I'm going to empower you. You're going to be victorious. You're going to come out of this. And in the end, when we catch our flight to heaven, and we see a glimpse of Your throne, Your city, we're going to say, oh, wow, glory to God. I made it. It was worth it. And now, for eternity, I'm going to live with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, my Jesus. Father, encourage the people today. Strengthen them. Fire them up. And give us victory in these dark days. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The altars are open here at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. The elders are here. And if you are listening to me by audio, you know you can stand up and walk or sit, whatever you do, and you can simply say in the name of Jesus, I claim that. I'm hooked up to the branch. I claim that. I claim victory right now. And in the name of Jesus, you will be healed where you are. God will restore you. And then call us, contact us, and talk to someone. Most of all, read the word and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Sacramento, California. This message was the second part in the series, Satan's Infiltration of Christian Churches, and was entitled, Mankind is Locked in a Legal Battle. In this second message, Pastor John pointed out that mankind is locked in a legal battle between God and Satan. Every human being on earth is dragged into this whether they like it or not. Since few Christian churches teach on this subject, people don't understand what is happening around them and therefore not able to defend themselves in this lethal battle. Most Christians have read 1 Peter 5:8 many times but never understood or reflected that the words are literally true. The devil really is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But before you can begin to defend yourself, you must have full Bible knowledge, and this sermon will point you in the right direction. Remember, there is no neutral ground. You are either victorious or slowly being defeated without knowing it. This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1155. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life, Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.